Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome indeed. Are you comfortable there, Scott?
Yes, thank you for holding on to my microphone.
He's cradling his cat, who is completely taking up his arms.
I have a kitty who is very insistent about being up on my shoulder. I've actually made a Facebook post about it and a little video. And right before we started this...
Like literally as he's about to hit record...
Up comes the kitty, and she's like, nope, I'm staying here. And it's either hold on to her or just let the claws dig in. So
we'll hold on to her.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want a different kind of pussy, you go to adamandeve.com.
Boo!
Use the promo code STATIC. And you can buy them fake pussies, or you can watch other people getting their pussies fucked, or you can buy things to stick in your pussy or in your butt. Use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com, and you get... 50% off of a single item. You get 3 free DVDs, probably a pussy's being pounded. You get a free mystery gift, and they'll even cover shipping in the United States.
And it's not just that kind of stuff that they have. They also have movies and lingerie and the less risque things as well.
Those goofy party things, like
exactly
like ice cube trays that make cock shaped and boob shaped ice cubes.
I even think they sell a Love You.
Uh-huh.
You ever heard of a Love You?
My mind went to a blow-up sheep.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. The fact that you knew that sickens me just a little bit inside.
I'm Scottish. I got one for my birthday once.
I'm sure you did. Well, all right. On that note, this show is our main show. This is the first show that we did. But as we've discussed previously, What the Fucking Radio Drummer spinoffs of this show.
See, I always get confused because, I mean... Brad brought the fan base, so...
But we did this first. Yeah. But so tonight we are going to talk about spinoffs. I don't just mean... Usually when you say spinoff, people think of TV shows.
Right.
We'll discuss those. But you've also got spinoffs in comics, in books, in music, in movies. You got spinoffs of any kind of media, really. Spinoffs of video games, etc. Now, when you think of a spinoff, what do you think of, Scott?
The first thing that came to my mind... And I think this was because it was mentioned earlier today, was Joey.
And see, that I do not consider a spinoff. That to me is a continuation. Let me go into my little spiel about the difference between a spinoff and a continuation.
Okay.
My example is Archie Bunker's Place from All in the Family. All in the Family lasted 11 seasons. Archie Bunker's Place lasted 4. All that they did was change the title and the focus. All the same characters were there. Edith was there. Stephanie was there. All the same supporting cast. They still were at Archie's house in Archie Bunker's Place. All they did is shift the main focus from the home to the bar.
Ah.
And Archie Bunker's Place did not premiere until after the season finale of All in the Family. To me, that's a continuation. That's continuing the same story with the same characters.
See, but Joey...
That's where I consider Joey.
Joey didn't have the same characters, though.
It had Joey.
It had one same character.
And his sister. She was on a Friends episode, too, although different actress. It wasn't
a Friends episode.
Yeah. But that came after Friends was off the air.
Okay.
So that, to me, is a continuation. Now, if Joey had got his own show and Friends went on for another season, that, to me, would have been a spinoff.
Oh, okay. So in order to be a spinoff, the original must continue.
Or... You are taking a character out of the environment that they've been in previously, and you put them in a new environment and you spin them off into their own thing while the source is continuing to go.
So if Archie Bunker had gotten a job at a noodle factory,
you're just saying that because we just had noodles.
Yes, we just went to Noodles and Company an hour ago. But so he gets a job at a noodle factory and. We get Archie's noodles, and you know, while the original,
while All in the Family is still going,
while and All in the Family is still the, okay.
Here's a perfect example: sticking with All in the Family, Archie Bunker's Place, not a spinoff but a continuation. The Jeffersons, a spinoff. The Jeffersons were regular characters on All in the Family for like four or five seasons before they moved on up and got their own series. That's a spinoff.
To the east side?
Yes.
Okay.
And they still continued to appear on All in the Family as well, because in continuity, Mike and Gloria bought their old house next door, so George was their landlord. So George and Weezy still appeared occasionally on All in the Family.
So Cleveland Show, spinoff of Family Guy, not yes, continuation.
Okay. Exactly. And you want to get really convoluted sticking with the All in the Family thing?
Sure, because I know that there's tons and tons of shows surrounding this.
Well, Maude was a spinoff of All in the Family. She appeared three times on All in the Family before she got her own show. What's Happening got spun off of Maude. Good Times got spun off of What's Happening. So if you really get down to it, Scott, What's Happening is still a spinoff of All in the Family, because it was a spinoff of Good Times, which was a spinoff of Maude, which was a spinoff of All in the Family.
Good God.
And that's not even all of it. And then All in the Family also spun off Gloria. She got her own series for a single season, which ran concurrently with the final season of Archie Bunker's Place. There was a Jefferson spinoff called Checking In, where Florence got her own series for a whole four episodes before that was canceled. So that's another spinoff. And then they got a kind of spinoff slash continuation slash abomination in the mid-90s called 704 Hauser, where a Jewish black family moved into Archie's old place.
Oh, good God.
And Joey Stivick, Mike and Gloria's son, in the first episode.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that's a continuation or a spinoff.
So how big is this universe?
The All in the Family universe is fucking huge, man. It's almost as much as the St. Elsewhere universe when you really get down to it.
Oh, that's right, because Cheers was in the St. Elsewhere universe and... Was MASH, or am I confusing things?
Hold on. Okay. The St. Elsewhere one, this is going to get confusing, but please stick with me, okay?
Okay, all right.
Now,
all right.
St. Elsewhere is technically a spinoff in and of itself. First came the show White Shadow, the James Caan show where he was a white basketball coach in inner city Boston black high school.
Okay.
Now, one of the main characters in that was Calvin Coolidge High, one of the main characters in that became a main character on St. Elsewhere when that started, wearing his Calvin Coolidge High t-shirt. Same character. So technically, St. Elsewhere is a spinoff of White Shadow.
Okay.
Now, St. Elsewhere had a specific crossover with Cheers, where they actually traded characters and whatnot in one episode. So you've got that. Now, St. Elsewhere also had characters that later appeared on Homicide: Life on the Street.
Jeez.
Okay. Homicide: Life on the Street crossed over with Law and Order on multiple occasions. So that puts that in the St. Elsewhere universe. Law and Order has Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Criminal Intent, Trial by Jury, Law and Order Los Angeles. So you've got all those. Now, Law and Order also, or sorry, Homicide also had a crossover with the X-Files. The X-Files had a crossover with Millennium. Okay? The X-Files also had a crossover with Chicago Hope. Chicago Hope also had a crossover with, X-Files also had a crossover with Picket Fences, which had a crossover with Chicago Hope. Chicago Hope had a crossover with Homicide: Life on the Street. Okay?
I need a flow chart, really.
And then the X-Files had the spinoff of The Lone Gunman.
Oh, good God.
So do you see how big the St. Elsewhere universe is?
Slightly large.
Oh, and also the St. Elsewhere universe also had a crossover with Mary Tyler Moore and Knight Rider.
Wait a minute. Michael Knight is technically in the same universe as Law & Order SVU?
It was technically an in-joke.
Okay.
But it was... You know, because they always, you know, like you hear people called over like the PA at the hospital, and one of them was Michael Knight because they were both on NBC and they were on back to back at that time.
Right.
It was Michael Knight to is an emergency or something, and they said we need a tow truck in the parking lot. So it was an in joke, but technically, and now if you go with that had the spinoff Team Knight Rider, which had a crossover with Star Trek. So then you bleed into the Star Trek universes, which go back to St. Elsewhere.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me get this right. Law & Order SVU is in the same universe as St. Elsewhere, is in the same universe as Knight Rider, is in the same universe as Star Trek.
You are correct,
so
my friend.
We just linked Law & Order SVU to Star Trek.
Yes.
TNG or the original series or what?
Original series, okay. Which also then brings you to TNG, which brings you to DS9, which brings you to Voyager, which none of them even went with Enterprise did have a specific crossover with Classic Trek, with the USS Defiant falling into the mirror universe.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I just linked Star Trek to St. Elsewhere. Technically to White Shadow, since St. Elsewhere came from White Shadow.
I do. I need a flow chart for this. And
the fact that I did this with no notes. Huh? That this is all just from memory.
I bow to your geekery, sir. I bow to your geekery. When it comes in this case, you can bow to me for the internet and technology. I bow to you for stupid convoluted shit. It's just,
really. So yeah. So there's that. And so technically, if you want to get really convoluted, Star Trek Voyager is a spinoff of St. Elsewhere. If you really, really want to get down to it.
No. Star Trek Voyager, spinoff of White Shadow.
Technically, yes.
There we go.
If you really want to get through all that.
My God.
I forgot one. Because they had a crossover with Mary Tyler Moore, Mary Tyler Moore had the continuation of Lou Grant.
That's
true. So that pulls Lou Grant into that, too.
That's true.
And again, that's a difference between a continuation and a spinoff. Mary Tyler Moore ended. Lou Grant lost his job at the TV station. He moved to Los Angeles and became the editor of the newspaper. That is, to me, is a continuation of his character,
okay,
not a spinoff of his character.
Okay.
Same thing, Hill Street Blues. That continued into Beverly Hills Bunts.
Why do I get the feeling that at some point Lost in the Static is going to have a crossover with St. Elsewhere?
It very well might.
Why do I think that this very radio show takes place in the St. Elsewhere?
Do you want me to get Tom Fontana for an interview?
If we could get Tom Fontana for an interview, yes, do it. Definitely.
So you can say we're connected?
Exactly.
He wrote a whole bunch of St. Elsewhere episodes, including the series finale, and he created and co-wrote almost every episode of Homicide Life on
the Street. Because if that happens, if Lost in the Static, which takes place in the real world,
ostensibly,
in the real world, then links up with something at St. Elsewhere, technically,
we're inside Tommy Westfall's head?
No, not only are we inside Tommy Westfall's head, along with Star Trek The Next Generation and Voyager and all of that, but we have guaranteed the future is Star Trek. You and I have single-handedly guaranteed that humanity will end up perfecting itself at some point. You're welcome, humanity.
We just did it. Yay. So let me ask you then, after going through all that convoluted rigmarole, when you think of spinoff, do you usually think about it in a positive way? Let's just stick with TV for the moment, okay?
Okay.
Do you think of it in a positive way or, they're spinning such and such character into his own show?
Okay, all right. For me, I got to take it on a case-by-case basis. Because if we go back to the 70s and we go back to this St. Elsewhere universe of the 70s and 80s, then yes, we've had some amazingly good spinoffs, including, like you said, technically,
everything.
St. Elsewhere
almost
itself.
Almost
everything on television links back to St. Elsewhere. But, you know, so yes, we've had some very, very good ones. And then we've had our Joeys and stuff like that, which I know you consider that a continuation. I'll call it a continuing spinoff. But, you know, and meh. And on one hand, you've got the Cleveland Show, which took a little while to grow on me.
Well, okay, then how about something like going with the Star Trek stuff, Star Trek The Next Generation?
Great show.
With the exception of Dr. McCoy having the uncredited cameo in the pilot of Next Generation, when that started, that was just set in the same universe. No continuing, no characters from Star Trek, no even villains from Star Trek, really.
Right,
the Klingons
right.
and Romulans didn't even pop in until the end of the first season. It was basically, we're just redoing Star Trek for a new generation, or for the next generation, if you really want to get there. Is that a spinoff, or is that just a continuation that's set in the same universe?
You can't even really call it a continuation, because with the exception of, like you said, the uncredited cameo, we're not really continuing any characters. We're just going, okay, this
takes
place in
this
universe.
Some people might argue that the ship itself, being the Enterprise, is a character.
But it
no, there are Trek fans that'll argue
that.
I know,
but guess what, people? Number one, it's all fiction. Just fucking relax.
And they're separate ships.
And two, they are very separate, generationally apart.
And like five different ships called Enterprise apart too.
Yeah.
Well, but then technically Deep Space Nine is a spinoff because of Chief O'Brien.
Yes. Now,
Chief O'Brien came from Next Gen, left that show to go to Deep Space Nine.
Right. And in
the later Worf.
If I remember, the premiere of DS9 had the Enterprise docked at it.
Yes, it had the Captain Picard or Sisko screaming at Captain Picard because of his Borgism.
Yes. So, you know what? That's that I think is a completely legitimate spinoff and one that worked, by the way.
How about sticking with Star Trek? How about Voyager? No characters regularly went to Voyager, but a character class did. The Maquis was all stuff that was set up on Deep Space Nine, and then you had Voyager docked at Deep Space Nine, and you had the opening scene with Quark on Deep Space Nine kind of giving them their push-off. Would that be a spinoff since there are no characters that had previously appeared on another Star Trek incarnation for Star Trek Voyager?
Still a spinoff.
Although technically later Reginald Barclay and Deanna Troi appeared in like season seven.
You're having, even if you don't have a continuing character that, you know, like a Chief O'Brien or a Cleveland, if you will, you still have them directly interact. This isn't, it's not like the original series versus Next Generation where, yes, they're in the same universe. Yes, the original series and the happenings in the original series is part of the history and the canon of Next Generation, which to me makes that, I would
kind of call it a continuation.
Yeah, I would kind of call it a continuation. Yes. But you have characters directly interacting with each other from the shows.
And that's what you had when, during Deep Space Nine's first two seasons and Next Gen's last two, they were running concurrently. So you'd have something that happened in a Next Gen episode get mentioned on Deep Space Nine, like, oh, did you hear that the Klingons just did this? And then that was, you know, like maybe the coup episode on Next Generation or something.
Okay.
And you'd have it go both ways. Like Picard would be talking about the Bajorans, something that Sisko did. So you had the shows that were heavily linked continuity-wise that these shows are taking place in the same universe,
right.
no doubt about it.
And at some point you had the characters interacting with one another.
And then later you even had Worf come over.
Right.
You know, onto Deep Space Nine from Next Gen. So then what about when a TV show continues with all new characters but should have been a spinoff? I'm looking squarely at The X-Files. Once David Duchovny left and Gillian Anderson got out of her contract and she got pushed at her choice to supporting cast, and Scully stopped being a main character, and it was Robert Patrick and the other Annabeth Gish as Doggett and Reyes as the main characters. Those last three seasons, I think they should have canceled the X-Files and had the Doggett and Reyes series as a spinoff with a different name. I don't think it would have been as hated. I really don't think. I think people hated those last three seasons because there were some strong episodes in those seasons.
Oh, yeah.
I think people hated it because it was called The X-Files, and there was barely any Scully and no Mulder.
Right, and
so
I
think
agree.
That would have worked better under a different title. I really do.
I agree.
Should have canceled it, and the Doggett and Reyes show should have been a spinoff.
I agree.
And then you got The Lone Gunman.
What the hell happened to Lone Gunman? I enjoyed that show. What happened?
The ratings were absolute shit.
Really?
Ratings, the ratings were horrendous.
Oh, okay.
Possibly because Fox aired them massively out of order.
That could be it.
And it didn't work. It didn't work as well as it should have. Okay, how about when a character gets their own spinoff and it doesn't work and the regular show continues on for quite a while and the character is just kind of written out? I'm looking at you, the Ropers. Remember from Three's Company?
Yes, I remember.
They got their own spinoff, lasted less than a season, and they were not brought back. They just kind of, after they went onto their own show, they stopped existing to the Three's Company universe.
Well, see, and I think that's more up to the actor.
Oh, no. Part of their contract was if the Ropers didn't work, they'd be brought back in. They just paid him a bunch of money to buy him out of their contract. They said, we don't want you back.
Okay. Well, that to me is a creative decision. Now, who took over in the Roper's role? Was that when Don Knotts joined Three's Company?
I think Don Knotts was always there, wasn't he?
No, because he wasn't always their landlord.
Okay, then yeah, it was probably when Don Knotts came.
Okay. Well, to me, that's a creative decision going, holy shit, we've got this classic.
We got Don fucking Knotts.
We got fucking Don Knotts. There's way too many ostriches. But it's...
I always think the Amazing
That's
Mr.
an obscure
Limpet.
Reference.
I always think of him with the Amazing Mr. Limpet and the giant fish.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. But you know that I think is we got Don fucking Knotts. Why do we need to bring these people? Throw a dump truck of money at them. They will go away, and that's okay. You know, were the Ropers a particularly absolutely adored character? Obviously not, because
some characters work great in their original environment,
and
on their own they don't. Like, a lot of people would argue that Joey worked good with friends, but did not work good on his own.
Yes.
So sometimes it's not that the characters were the flaw; it was the new setting or whatnot that became the flaw.
Yeah, and to me, I can see that stuff where they're just kind of written off. You say, gee, is that kind of crappy? Well, no, they're getting this actor out of a contract. And they did, at least in the case of the Ropers, they did throw a dump truck of money at them going, okay, we're going to buy you out.
We just don't want you back.
We just don't want
you
back.
We got Don Knotts. We don't need you guys.
Exactly. That's a creative decision.
And a lot of people don't know this. Did you know that Three's Company and the Golden Girls both had a continuation after their main series were canceled?
No.
Three's Company became Three's a Crowd, and it had Jack moving into a new apartment complex where he was a restaurant manager.
Okay.
Lasted like two seasons, I think. And the Golden Girls had Golden Palace, where I think it was two or three of the girls. They all didn't come back.
Oh, was that the show that they kept promoting by tattooing it on the back of boxers?
I don't remember that. No. Yeah, Golden Palace, totally different thing.
Maybe that was goldenpalace.com.
Yeah. But no, Golden Palace, they bought a restaurant and Cheech Marin was their cook.
No,
yes, Cheech Marin was in a Golden Girls continuation.
I believe, which I'm sure somehow links back to St. Elsewhere. Why don't we get Cheech Marin on the show?
I tried to get Cheech and Chong. I can't even get him to return an email. Yeah, so
unfortunately.
I'd love to talk to both of them. Or either one,
if anyone happens
either one of them.
If anyone happens to smoke up with Tommy Chong, or is he completely clean now?
Oh, no, he's still
okay,
a smoker.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But, you know, you've got things like that. Or, like, most people know Hill Street Blues. Most people don't know Beverly Hills Bunce. The character of Norman Bunce, Dennis Franz's character, in the series finale of... I'm even getting convoluted in my own head.
Hill Street Blues.
In the series finale of Hill Street Blues, as the station burned down, because they knew it was a finale, you know,
the station burned down.
He punched out the chief of police on live television because of an ongoing plot line of the chief... thinking Bunce was dirty, having stole this entire suitcase full of cocaine, which he didn't. It was actually the IMB investigator, played by Gul Dukat of Deep Space Nine, was the IAB investigator that was setting Bunce up on Hill Street Blues. And then he punched him out, so he lost his badge. Then they gave him his own spinoff show, which was a weird half-hour dramedy. No laugh track or anything, but it was definitely more humor than it was drama.
Okay,
He and Sid the Snitch, played by Peter Jurcik, later of Babylon 5, went to Beverly Hills and he became a private detective. Yeah, so the Bunce...
Yeah, I don't know that one at all.
Bunce and Sid continued on after Hill Street Blues.
Bunce and Sid, that sounds like they should be making children's television. Brought to you by Bunce and Sid.
Lidsville.
Exactly.
I just went to Sid and Marty Croft there.
Who I'm sure somehow link back to St. Elsewhere.
But then you've got shows that just they want to spin off so bad. Like, do you realize that technically, even though they have a bunch of aborted pilots, Married with Children has two spinoffs? Do you remember those?
No, not at all.
Do you remember Matt LeBlanc's character on Married with Children, Vinny Verducci?
No.
He appeared in quite a few season two and three episodes.
Okay.
He was basically a male Kelly. You know, really pretty and, you know, everyone loved him, but dumb as a fucking stump.
Okay. So Matt LeBlanc. All right.
Yeah. So like Matt LeBlanc. Well, he got his own spinoff show called Top of the Heap, where his dad, who would already was an established Married with Children character too, who went to high school with Al, they would try and trick rich women into marrying Vinny, and then they could get rich like that.
Wow.
Joey Lauren Adams was his 15-year-old underage, over-sexualized stalker, too, in Top of the Heap.
Holy crap, weird.
Yeah. Top of the Heap lasted 8 episodes, okay? They didn't cancel it. They retooled it. They got rid of the father, got rid of the plot line of trying to get rich women, and they had Vinny move in with his best friend, Bobby, and it became Vinny and Bobby for 8 episodes. And then they finally canceled that.
I don't remember that at all.
The Top of the Heap ones are not that bad. Top of the Heap had quite a few appearances by, of the 8 episodes, 5 of them had an appearance by Al, Kelly, or Bud from Married with Children.
And I'm guessing you have these on tape.
Of course I do. Okay, I'm a little insulted you had to ask. I really am. I'm a little pissed you had to ask.
You'll notice that I didn't ask. I said, I'm guessing you have these on tape.
Which yes, I do. Do you want to see them now?
Yes, I do.
And you can still see the pilot episode in the syndication package of Married with Children. It's actually called Top of the Heap. It's the one where, because Vinny was a boxer, Al bet he pawned his TV and bet all the money on Vinny, and then he lost, so he was blaming them for losing his TV. So Al breaks into their apartment at the end of the pilot and steals their television.
Okay.
Because he feels they owe him a TV.
Alrighty.
And then after Vinny and Bobby was canceled, Vinny was brought back to Married with Children. He still made a couple more appearances, so he was spun back into the main Married with Children continuity.
Again, creative decision. I can understand that.
Well, I think they saw it. We got Matt LeBlanc. He's not a star yet, but there's something about this guy. He's yeah. going to be.
This guy's a big enough douchebag. He is going to be huge.
Well, and then you also
I met Matt LeBlanc once.
Oh, okay. Is he as big of a douchebag as he is on episodes?
Yes, he is.
Because he's a douchebag on that.
Yes, he is.
All right.
It's not a stretch. I mean, I'm sure working with him, you may have a different relationship or something like that, because I know I've come across as a douchebag every once in a while when, and I hate to say this, but a Lost in the Static listener either asks me a question or usually it brings up somewhere where either you or me is wrong at exactly the wrong time. Point. And I'm just like, my personal life sucks. I'm going to take it out on this person I don't know. Fuck you, you asshole. Bah, bah, bah. How dare you say we're wrong? You know, so I'm sure I've come across as a huge douchebag too, but you working with me have a very different relationship. So
you think.
If Matt LeBlanc ever hears this, I'm sorry, dude, but the one time I met you, you came across as a huge douche. If you'd like to apologize, we'd love to have you on the show.
LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com. Now, did you know Married with Children had 5 aborted spinoff pilots?
No.
4 of which are actually in the syndication package episodes?
Are you kidding me?
Nope. They were so desperate to franchise this. And a couple of these were after Top of the Heap and a couple were before. But they were Fox so wanted a franchise out of the Married with Children stuff. Well, there's an episode called Enemies, and it's about a bunch of Kelly's friends, and Kelly appears in the episode, obviously, a bunch of Kelly's friends that are the exact opposite of the show Friends, and it was called Enemies, and that was a pilot for a spinoff.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the episode where Bud went to college, and they ended up hijacking the radio station at his college, and it turned out Steve was the dean?
Yes.
That was a spinoff for a Bud at College show. That was a pilot for that.
Okay.
Do you remember the episode where Kelly moved out to move in with one of her modeling friends and Al ended up punching out the modeling friend's dad because he thought it was her boyfriend?
No, but okay.
That was a potential Kelly spinoff.
How many times you obviously have this knowledge that I don't. How many times have we seen a pilot make it into a show as an episode?
Quite often. Usually the way you can tell when you watch them, you know, even at the same in first run, when almost all the main characters are left out or it only focuses almost exclusively on one character in an ensemble show or does something where it tries to change their settings, like Bud in college, like Kelly moving out, clearly trying to alter their settings to give them a new environment.
Okay.
And then the No Ma'am show never happened. Fox wouldn't even greenlight that. Remember No Ma'am, their anti-woman organization?
Yes.
They were going to get their own spinoff. They actually had a script written, and they're just like, advertisers are pulling out of the show as it is for how anti-woman we're.
Yeah.
We're never going to get advertisers for a No Ma'am show.
Yeah, I can see that. By Menon.
So No Ma'am almost had their own spinoff of Married with Children.
Oh, God. It's probably a good thing that didn't happen.
Well, they even made weird ones. Like, you remember Friday the 13th, the series, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that almost had a spinoff? The
really?
Episode, the episode Demon Hunter is a pilot for a spinoff. You'll notice there's almost no mention of the main characters. There's no cursed object.
Right.
It's just a bunch of paramilitary group hunting down a demon that happens to break into Curious Goods and because that was a pilot for a spinoff.
Okay.
So they were even trying to spin that off into another show.
Which they kind of. Is it wrong of me to put Friday the 13th, the series, and Warehouse 13
together?
Kind of in the same, yeah. Because they really.
Yeah, they're similar, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But sorry. So you have. Now, let's leave TV spinoffs away a little bit.
Movie spinoffs.
Well, there's that. You get that. But you've also got it in all these other genres, like video games. Look at Mortal Kombat. You got the Mortal Kombat, 2, 3, 4, Annihilation, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got Sub-Zero getting his own game.
Sub-Zero,
And you got Scorpion getting his own game.
Yep.
And it's like video game spin-offs or like the DOA series.
Yes.
Normally you got the DOA fighting series, and then I actually liked this game, but they spun Nina Williams off into her own Resident Evil-style game.
Yep.
So it was weird because you got this fighting game character now in a Resident Evil-type setting, and the...
And
the
both
game
of
was
them,
not bad.
Yeah, and both of them kind of out of nowhere with beach volleyball.
That was just pandering.
Well, yes.
That was
yes,
just
it was.
I mean,
yes,
Christ, that had a boob physics option.
Yes.
Boingy,
boingy, God, they boingy. Were just wrong.
Man, if you fucked with those physics, right, those things boingied like there was no gravity. It was creepy and alluring.
I've dated that. I do. I have exes that are both creepy and alluring.
But
that's disgusting. I want to fuck it. Anyway.
Well, so you've got that in video games, but then you like you brought up movies. You do have spin-off movies.
Sure.
Now before we go into that,
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
One of my favorite, even though I don't really read the books, to. When I do think movies and spin-offs, at least spin-offs into other media, and I'm thinking specifically spinning off into books,
comics.
Spinning off into comics and stuff like that, one of my favorite characters, and I have no idea why he's one of my favorite characters, Boba Fett. Spun out, spun out of the Star Wars universe and spent the years in the Sarlacc pit and climbed out and... Kind of became his own little epic character in the extended universe. That
never understood why. Never understood the allure. He's got cool armor, okay?
Yeah.
And?
And a weird ship.
Kind of died like a screaming little bitch. I don't know why he's considered such a badass. I mean, he got taken out by a blind man. And he fell into a giant vagina.
Yeah.
And while screaming.
And he
That's
climbed...
not how tough guys die.
No, but he climbed out of that.
Nope, because the Star Wars universe is like the Star Trek universe. If it didn't happen on screen, it didn't happen.
I know, but in the books, in the extended universe, he basically crawled. And now, wait a minute, it must have happened because we have Star Wars 1313 coming up. Or is it Coruscant 1313? I forget, but it's the adventures of Boba Fett underneath Coruscant City in the shitty low levels and all of that. So
I don't care about Boba Fett.
I know. That's because you hate everything cool.
Nope. Now, we do need to talk about the misuse of the word sequel and prequel. Okay, something that bugs the living shit out of me when it comes to movies.
Yes.
Is when, let's say, the second movie in a franchise is mm-hmm. the one that breaks it big.
Okay.
I am so sick of seeing the first movie, which came out years earlier, called the prequel.
Rambo.
People call First Blood the prequel to Rambo.
Yes.
Except in the title, First Blood Part 2.
No. That's it's just Rambo now.
But no, the one that I see abused most with this, well, the two, would be Manhunter for Silence of the Lambs. I mean, they even sell the DVD as the prequel to Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, it was only made 5 years earlier. You know, yeah, so yeah, clearly it's a prequel.
Clearly.
Or the one is Mad Max as the prequel to The Road Warrior. No.
No.
It was made first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if they made Mad Max after The Road Warrior to show the early adventures of Max Rudzinski,
that would be a prequel.
That's a prequel.
Right.
I am so sick of the first movie being called a prequel. It's not. That's just insane when people do that. As people not understanding what the terms mean. A prequel is a story that takes place prior but is made after.
Okay. So, the Star Wars prequels.
Yes, those were made decades after the Star Wars, the real Star Wars movies.
But definitely legit prequels.
Yes. Manhunter and Mad Max are not prequels. I'd even say some people have actually called Psycho 4 a prequel because of the fact, and this is kind of dancing on that line, that most of it is a flashback to Norman as a child. But it's all narrated by old Norm calling a radio show because Anthony Perkins was dying of AIDS at the time, so he could not pull off full. They're like, we can't put this him through a full movie.
Right, right.
So technically, would that be a prequel or a sequel or both? Because it's got events made after the fact that take place prior and events that take place contemporarily.
Right.
So is that a prequel or a sequel?
Little column A, little column B.
So Psycho 4 is in that weird territory where it does that, huh?
It's a pre-sequel. It's, yeah. So you've got that. Gosh, what was some of the other ones that... Well, god-awful movie, Paranormal Activity 3.
And see, that's weird in the fact that the Paranormal Activities keep going backwards in continuity but forwards in numbering. That's weird when you think about it like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Because yeah, that's right. Two took place
before one,
before
and then three
one,
took place before
three
two.
Three took place before two.
I haven't seen
and
four, so four, I don't know what four.
Four
is.
Takes place in the late 1800s.
Yeah, because
all the found footage for they're all
they had Skype back then, didn't they?
Exactly.
They had Skype then.
But
so yeah, it's really weird when you look at it like that. And then
now wait a minute. If I could bring something up here, you want to ignite some geekery in our audience? Okay, I'm going to mention two video game franchises where the timeline will always incite hatred, and we're not going to mention them.
Zelda
is one.
Jillian would just go freaky on you.
Exactly,
right now.
And we're not going to talk about the timeline. We're not going to say what is correct because that's going to be left to the fans on the Facebook page. Trust
Figure
me.
Figure it out yourselves.
Exactly. And two, Final Fantasy.
I've never really considered the Final Fantasies. Final Fantasies?
Final Fantasy?
I've never considered the Final Fantasies really a franchise in a continuity way because at least in the 1-6,
right,
they were clearly not even on the same planets. They wouldn't reference the previous games in any way other than they'd like both have Moogles and Chocobos.
Right.
So right. I never really considered those. Those were almost kind of remakes, you know, over and over again.
I know.
I never really linked any of those continuities.
But they are argued about, trust me.
Really?
Oh yeah.
There are nerds that do that.
Oh, there are nerds that do everything. Seriously. There are nerds that do everything. You can be nerdy about anything. So, yes.
Well, and then for movies, you also do have, you do have the weird spin-offs, non-sequel kind of sequels thing, like that horrible Alex Cross movie. The one that what's his face plays Medea.
Tyler Perry.
That Tyler Perry plays. He's playing the same character Morgan Freeman played in Kiss the Girls. So it's technically a sequel to Kiss the Girls.
Sequel or pre? Wait a minute. How is... Because Tyler Perry is considerably younger.
But Alex Cross takes place today, so it would have to be a sequel.
So it would have to be a sequel.
But he's playing the same character that Morgan Freeman played in the movie.
Wait a minute. So he's playing this, so it's technically a sequel.
Technically.
So it's kind of like the James Bond stuff. Because James Bond, obviously, different actors through time, different timelines, God knows when the movies took place, because Casino Royale was the first Bond book.
But it was, it technically was not a Bond movie because they didn't have the rights to it. It was an accurate adaptation of Casino Royale, the book, but they changed the character's name. So technically, the original 1967 Casino Royale is not a James Bond film,
right.
Technically.
Right.
But in reality, it really is.
Yeah, so the James Bond timeline gets a little bit weird.
Well, especially when you bring in George Lazenby.
Exactly.
The one George Lazenby movie, he was married and his wife was killed.
That's right.
And it's mentioned later, he was never married.
That's
so
right.
It's like the George Lazenby movie didn't take place in continuity.
Either didn't take place in continuity or hasn't happened yet.
Or how about Moonraker then? Moonraker took place in the future. So does the Roger Moore Moonraker now take place after the Daniel Craig Skyfall?
Technically.
Or how does this work?
Yeah, that's a fun timeline to play with. I had another one in my brain that just...
A huge franchise?
Left.
Or a James Bond thing.
No, not a James Bond thing. Another franchise that the timeline is kind of... Oh, well, of course, there's the classic timeline to play with, and the show itself plays with the timeline all throughout its 50-year history, and that's Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, but that's a time travel show. Trying to keep continuity straight in something that involves time travel is kind of... You know, fisting itself right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how about this? And again, like the Married with Children situation, they've been trying for years to find a spinoff of this. They have been trying to spin off Simpsons characters into their own show for decades now.
Seriously?
Yes. At one point, they were actually in pre-production of a... Remember when Krusty, which they've clearly wiped this out of continuity, when he became a congressman?
Yes.
It was going to be his adventures in Washington. And they also seriously considered giving Mo his own spinoff at one point.
A Krusty spinoff I could see. A Mo spinoff?
That they said it was, you know, his adventures in the bar world and the weird customers that would come
in.
And then they're like, that would always, you know, allow Homer to stop by or, you know, him to have some scheme that crosses with Bart or something.
Don't see it.
And they've been trying to do Simpsons spinoff, and they even parodied themselves in that with the Simpsons spinoff showcase episode, where they had, you know, the horrible Skinner and Chief Wiggum as PIs and Nolans and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a parody of the fact that they couldn't get a goddamn real spinoff off the ground.
Right.
So the Simpsons have been trying for years to get another Simpsons-esque show off the air or on the air.
Hmm.
So you got that kind of shit.
Can I ask your honest opinion?
Simpsons suck now.
About something. Okay. Do you think it's time for them to end the series?
I think it was time about 7-8 years ago. And they weren't even good for the last 12 years, but they were watchable. Now, I can't even... It's not even the same show.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not the same show whatsoever. But thankfully, it's either this season or next season is the final season, because it's gotten so expensive. Even Fox has said, we can't do this any longer. You people just keep asking for more and more money and bigger budgets, and I'm sorry, but the ratings are not what they were in season 10.
No.
You know, people are sick of your idiotic humor, because my problem with The Simpsons, they became Family Guy. Once Family Guy started to get popular, the humor of The Simpsons changed, because they saw their audience go over to Family Guy. So they said, if we do Family Guy style humor, we'll get our audience back.
So
to me, the humor, the style, the timing, everything is different now. It's an ironic... This is the ironic part. Family Guy is a Simpsons clone, and now The Simpsons is a clone of Family Guy, which is a clone of The Simpsons.
Hmm.
How is that for fucked up?
Yeah, it's messed up.
And, I mean, I actually thought The Simpsons did have a really, really funny joke in a Halloween show quite a few years ago at Family Guy's expense. It was the Multiplicity parody, where Homer keeps... copying himself, but just like a photocopy, each time gets a little worse and worse and worse.
Right.
And, you know, they start going, you know, he goes all the way to season one Homer, and then, you know, Tracy Ullman show Homer, and then the next clone is Peter Griffin.
I
thought, okay, that was really funny.
That was
a great dig at how much of a clone Peter Griffin is to Homer Simpson. That was great. Speaking of that, The Simpsons, they're a spinoff of Tracy Ullman.
Right.
They're a spinoff of the Tracy Ullman show.
That's right.
And this is something I've never understood about Fox. Maybe it's some rights issue with Tracy Ullman. Why have they never released the shorts? They released a bunch of them on VHS. On the VHS tapes was always one of the Tracy Ullman shorts between the two episodes on the VHS tapes. Released all those Tracy Ullman shorts on DVD.
Have they released the Tracy Ullman show?
No. But you'd think that the Simpsons, they'd be able to just put all the Simpsons shorts onto like a one or two DVD set. You'd think, I really can't believe 20th Century Fox has not done that yet. That really does surprise me.
I'll tell you, going back a little bit of what we were talking about with Doctor Who and playing with the timeline, one spinoff that didn't happen with Doctor Who, and I am thrilled to death K-9? That it didn't. No, Rose.
Okay, because I know about Torchwood and Sarah Jane.
Torchwood is a spinoff.
Is Sarah Jane Chronicles? Do I got the title right?
I think she is.
K-9 even appeared on her show.
Yeah, she is a direct spinoff.
She's a spinoff. I couldn't remember the name. Sarah Jane Chronicles. Yeah,
the Sarah Jane Chronicles was a spinoff there. Torchwood, which, by the way, you want to talk about how stupid I was? Somebody pointed out that Torchwood is a anagram of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I saw you posting that.
Oh my God!
I tried Torchwood. I really did. The only one I've tried for like Children of Earth and stuff. And
yeah,
I might try the last season, Miracle Day, because of the new American setting. I kind of want to see if that really changes anything. The new American producers and the new moving them to America. If that made the show better or
we'll
not,
we'll see.
Because I haven't seen those yet.
I also have a crush on Cap Jack Harkness. So, but anyway, he told my wife she had gorgeous eyes. And when a gay man tells a woman that she has gorgeous eyes, that means something.
Yeah, well, you can always think of his line from Shark Attack 3.
What's that?
There was an ad-libbed line. He was getting frustrated with how many takes they were doing.
Right.
So at the end of one scene, and they put it in the final film.
Okay.
At one point, and you can tell it's kind of an outtake because he kind of just looks up a little bit.
Right.
And goes, how about we go back to your place and I eat your pussy? And she goes, you're on. And then the next scene is them in a shower scene. And he didn't even know that that was going to, because that's not the line that was scripted. And then it's in the final fucking movie.
Obviously.
And it's such one of those catchphrase lines that, and I'll show it to you on YouTube if you think I'm exaggerating.
I believe you. I want to see it. We'll look it up. But let's take a little bit of time here and we'll take the very end. Now, obviously, recording, this is still fresh news. By the time people hear this, it's going to have sat for a while. But Disney has bought
Lucasfilm.
And Skywalker Sound and Industrial ILM, Light Magic and
Lucas Games, Lucas Arts, and Lucas Games, Jones
the Lucas properties, including Star Wars. How do you see? I mean, this is obviously a beloved franchise. Maybe not to you, but you can see that to lots and lots of people out there, it's obviously a beloved franchise. What do you see as the future? What do you hope for?
For that. Since I don't care about Star Wars anymore, honestly, I don't care. I really don't. I don't care.
So you have
The only thing I'm hoping for is that Disney will finally release Young Indiana Jones Chronicles with all the old indie segments and as in episodes rather than edited into TV movies, and that they'll finally release droids and Ewoks in their season sets instead of the edited into TV movies way Lucas would. Oh, and with the original sound effects. Because when Lucas edited droids and Ewoks into the movies, he changed all to the prequel sound effects. Blasters don't sound the same and things like that. So I want the goddamn same episodes I have on tape. And yes, I have both those series on tape from their initial
I believe you.
I want those episodes put on DVD, not this. And if Disney is smart, they will release these things uncut, something that Lucas was not able to do.
Well, let's talk about Lucas Games. Sorry, one of the old school LucasArts games. Do you have any? Because I know that some of these LucasArts games have impacted you.
I played, the Super Star Wars games, Super Nintendo,
stuff like that. Do you have any hopes for the game side at all?
No, it's the same thing with, when Disney bought Marvel Comics a few years ago. I'm like, Marvel's dead to me anyway, so it doesn't matter that Disney owns them now. I don't see what the big deal is. So what?
Okay.
It's still, I'm not going to be buying any more or less of them than I was before. Or when Warner Brothers bought DC Comics in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Not really going to change anything.
See, now I think Disney did well with the Marvel films. I have hope for the Star Wars franchise. I have hope that ABC might actually get a Star Wars series off
George
the
Lucas
fucking ground.
George Lucas has been threatening
now.
Us with that Boba Fett series for years.
No. Fuck that. Seriously. Lucas is out. The best Star Wars, as you've pointed out, was not directed or any. Basically, it was Lucas taking the back seat.
Do you know what the biggest fallout is going to be?
What's that?
The internet. Lucas was all right with people making parodies and fan films.
Mm-hmm.
Disney is not going to let that. Disney will not let the Disney characters into fan films or anything like that. They are not going to let people get away with this stuff anymore. All these Star Wars fan films, they're going to crack fucking down on these.
Maybe.
I guarantee that. It's going to hit the internet hard when it comes to this stuff.
I really don't know about that, because this is, I mean, if they do, it's going to be a while. But now I see where they're coming. I have hope. Once again, fucking eternal optimist. I also have a cat in my lap, so I'm happy.
I don't have hope. I really don't. Well, okay, to go back to spinoffs quick.
Sure.
What about books? When you've got like a character that's in a novel and then they get their own novel.
Oh, like Anansi Boys.
Actually, I'm thinking more of like, have you seen the movie Lord of Illusions? Clive Barker's movie starring Scott Bakula?
Yes, I have. Yes, it's very good.
Okay, that character appeared in his own short stories.
Okay.
Okay. And then he appeared in The Great and Secret Show was its own book, and its sequel, Imagica, he appeared in as a main character. He had a minor role in The Great and Secret Show.
Okay.
So technically, this was a character that was completely separate, but was spun into The Great and Secret Show Imagica universe. So spinoff, sequel, I'm not sure with the Harry DeBoer character.
I don't know.
I'm not sure with that. Or how about the horrendous idea to make a prequel to stuff that doesn't need them?
Like?
Caprica. The prequel to Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
Yeah, because we totally needed to know. Here's the problem with the prequels.
Yes.
There's absolutely no tension whatsoever, especially if it has characters that are in the main show. You know that an episode can end with a gun at their head and the trigger cocked and they're about to get shot. You know it's not going to happen. There's no tension in a prequel.
There is at least with characters that we see again, yes, there is no tension. A well-done prequel will all of the main characters from the main storyline, if you will, need to come in at the end so that you have a bunch of new characters that set up the setup for whatever the hell the main deal is.
Okay, I got one to ask you, getting convoluted again. The JAG universe on TV. Okay, first you had the show JAG,
okay,
which spun off NCIS,
okay,
which spun off NCIS Los Angeles.
Right.
Now, is Yes, Dear in the same continuity as JAG? On an episode of Yes, Dear, they went to go watch an episode of JAG being taped. So it was the JAG actors playing the JAG characters while the Yes, Dear characters were in the audience watching them, and they didn't break character. So, is Yes, Dear in the JAG NCIS universe?
No.
Because JAG is a TV show in the Yes, Dear universe?
Right.
That doesn't mean anything. On the practice, they had a crossover with Boston Legal, and then they've also referenced Boston Legal on TV that night. So, Boston Public, is both a TV show in the practice Boston Legal universe, and they've actually crossed over with the characters from
bad
the show.
Writing.
No, actually, good writing. That was all in jokes.
Nope, bad writing.
I'll never call David E. Kelly a bad writer. I can't do that. I love David E. Kelly's work.
David E. Kelly does some great work.
I think he married the wrong Pfeiffer. He's married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
I've always had a thing for Dee Dee. Love Dee Dee Pfeiffer.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
I got a huge thing for Dee Dee Pfeiffer. I think she's the more attractive of the Pfeiffer girls.
There you go. Hey, I got to give it to Michelle in the Catwoman outfit, though.
I love Dee Dee. I love Dee Dee and everything. Okay. You ever see the movie Vamp?
Yes.
Dee Dee and Vamp. Oh, okay. My God, is she just fucking smoking. Go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC.
You're going to have to if we keep talking about Dee Dee Pfeiffer.
Yes. You get 50% off a single item, 3 free DVDs, free shipping, free mystery gift. Just use the promo code STATIC and help us out.
Check out our links on 1201beyond.com.
And also, check out the spinoffs of Lost in the Static, Radiodrome, and What the Fuck on Jackalope Radio.
Yes. Occasionally, I, as a character, cross over.
And he is a character, too.
Darn right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you next week.